Welcome to the Countdown to Canada podcast by Arrive, a podcast for newcomers by newcomers. We give you the information, resources, and tips you need to build a successful life here. Whether you're exploring your immigration options, looking for your first job, starting your studies as an international student, or adapting to life in Canada, this podcast will set you up for a smooth journey. Now let's get you home. Hello, everyone. I'm your host, Clem Levauvallier. And if there's one thing I've learned from the many, many newcomers to Canada with whom I've interacted over the years, it's that every newcomer's journey is different. Whether it's the motivations behind your move, the immigration program you apply through, or the time it takes you to settle in Canada and make it your home, there will always be something that sets you apart from the others who moved to Canada before you. And so at Arrive, our goal is to empower you with the information that you need to assess your options and make a decision that's best for you. Today, I want to talk about doing a soft landing, which is an option that many newcomers coming as permanent residents opt for when planning their arrival in Canada. And joining me at the studio today is Narissa Fernandez. Narissa moved to Canada from India in 2018, and she started her newcomer life in Canada with a soft landing. Hi, Narissa. How are you today?
Hi, Clem. I'm well. Thanks for having me here today.
Well, thanks for joining us and for being willing to share your experiences as a newcomer. Now, let's get started. Before we dive into the pros and cons of doing a soft landing and how you should be putting that time to good use, I want to take a minute to define what a soft landing is. A soft landing allows new immigrants to come to Canada briefly to complete their immigration formalities and initiate their permanent residence processing before moving to Canada permanently. You may be wondering why someone would want to do this, so let's give a little more context. Once you're approved for permanent residence in Canada, you must travel to Canada before your confirmation of permanent residence, visa, and other documents expire. We cover all this information and provide tips on preparing for your life in Canada in our free Preparing Your Move to Canada guide, which we'll link out to in the episode description. So do check that out if you haven't downloaded it already. Now, if you aren't ready to relocate permanently before these documents expire, a soft landing is a good way to complete your landing formalities and activate your PR. And then you can return home and plan your actual move for a later date. Narissa, can you tell us why did you choose to do a soft landing before moving to Canada permanently?
Actually, my reasons were similar to the ones you just mentioned. I applied for permanent residence in August 2017, and based on my research and everything I had heard from others, I expected the application process to take at least 6 to 12 months. But as luck would have it, my PR application was approved in 24 days.
Wow.
I got my confirmation of permanent residence and visa stamp within the next month. And like you mentioned earlier, as soon as you get these documents, the clock starts ticking because you have to enter Canada before they expire. But I wasn't even close to being prepared. There were a lot of things I needed to wrap up at home. I was still working for my employer in India, and although my manager and team knew that I had planned to move to Canada eventually, I hadn't given them any indicative timelines, and I hadn't put in my notice. I wasn't ready to leave just yet. Mm-hmm. My employer back then had a presence in the US and a satellite office in Vancouver, so I initiated a conversation with my manager about the possibility of an internal transfer. But those talks were still in the exploratory phase, which was taking time, and I knew that I had to travel to Canada soon to activate my PR. That's how I concluded that probably a soft landing was the answer. Instead of taking time off from work, I got approval to work remotely. And with all that set up, I traveled to Toronto in mid-March 2018 and stayed in Canada for nearly 3 months.
Nice. 3 months is a pretty significant period of time.
Yes, I wanted to stay in Canada until I received my PR card in the mail. And at that time, receiving the PR card usually took between 8 to 12 weeks.
That's true. So your PR card processing usually starts the first time you come to Canada with your COPR and immigrant visa. If you're doing a soft landing, you'll need to bring all of the paperwork that's required for the immigration, customs, and PR process at the port of entry. Usually, this will include your passport with a valid IM-1 visa, if you require a visa to enter Canada, a valid COPR, proof of settlement funds, if these are required for your immigration program, some Canadian currency, any ongoing prescriptions and medications you're on, and settler's effects forms B4 and B4A, which allow you to bring your belongings to Canada without paying any extra duties or taxes.
Arrive has a detailed pre-arrival checklist that can help you stay organized and gather all of the required paperwork in the months preceding your move to Canada. So please download it using the link in the description.
Yes, and while it isn't always required, it's also a good idea to purchase travel insurance for the duration of your soft landing, because you may not have provincial health coverage at that time. Without government or private insurance, the cost of healthcare in Canada can be quite high, so you don't want to take any risk. Now, once you land in Canada, an immigration officer will check your documents and conduct a brief landing interview to verify your identity and some specifics of your PR application. They'll ask for an address where your PR card can be mailed to you. Then they'll fill out your landing date on your COPR and ask you to double-check your information, countersign it, and that's it.
I want to point out that the address you provide must be a Canadian address. If, like Narissa, you plan to stay in Canada until you receive your PR card, then you can provide your temporary address. But if your soft landing is only going to be a couple weeks long, then you might want to give the address of a close friend or a family member instead. Basically, anywhere where your PR card will be in safe hands.
Right.
Now, was there anything else you had to do at the airport when you arrived?
Well, since I landed at Pearson Airport on a weekday during business hours, I was able to get my social insurance number at the airport itself.
Yes. So for those of you who don't know, a social insurance number, also called SIN, is a unique 9-digit number that every individual needs to work in Canada or apply for government benefits. Social insurance numbers are issued by Service Canada, and you can apply for one in person, online, or by mail. If you're landing at Toronto or Vancouver airports, there is a Service Canada center at the airport, and it's open during business hours.
Yes, and when you apply in person, whether it's at the airport or at a different Service Canada center, you'll get your SIN immediately. Otherwise, it can take up to 20 days.
Mm-hmm.
As Clem mentioned, you can't legally work for a Canadian employer until you have your SIN. So make sure you prioritize this during your soft landing. And once you have your SIN, who knows, maybe you'll get a job offer during or after your soft landing and might even be able to start working remotely for your new employer before you arrive in Canada permanently.
That's a great point, Narissa. So tell me, what else did you do during your soft landing?
From a landing formality perspective, the next thing on my list was opening a Canadian bank account. I had done extensive research on this and compared the newcomer offerings of all the major Canadian banks. I decided to open a newcomer bank account with RBC and also applied for a credit card.
RBC does allow newcomers from several countries to start the account opening process virtually, even before they land in Canada. So once you have a landing date, you can use the link in the episode description to book a virtual appointment with an RBC newcomer advisor and get that process started. Also, bear in mind that it can take a few weeks for your credit card to be delivered to your address. So if your soft landing is going to be shorter than that, check how long your bank takes to issue credit cards, or perhaps wait until you're back in Canada for good. Ideally, though, getting your first Canadian credit card during your soft landing will give you a head start in building your credit history.
Which is extremely important, because you'll need a good credit history, not just for your financial success in Canada, but also for things like renting an apartment and in some cases for getting a job.
Yes. So if possible, get a Canadian credit card and start using it while you're in Canada, and for other Canadian expenses after your soft landing, such as your Canadian phone bill. Don't forget to pay your bill on time in full every single month. And by the time you're back in Canada permanently, you'll already have a few months worth of credit history. Now, we have an in-depth financial guide for newcomers, which talks about everything from banking to budgeting and credit and investments. So find a link to that in the episode description. Narissa, besides banking-related stuff, what else did you have on your to-do list for your soft landing?
Well, I needed to get a Canadian phone number. I decided to just walk into a store and talk with the sales staff, and interestingly, that worked in my favor. I managed to get an amazing deal that wasn't available online. I would recommend that you shop around for deals a bit before picking a plan. Don't just go by the rates posted on the websites. Visit a store and see if there's room for negotiation.
That's a very good tip. I do want to add that most newcomers start with a prepaid or pay-as-you-go plan because those can be cheaper and some providers may need your Canadian credit history to check your eligibility for a postpaid plan. However, there are workarounds to this and some newcomers are able to get a postpaid plan once they have a Canadian credit card or by talking to sales staff in-store. But if you're in a hurry to get a Canadian phone number, you might also be able to buy a SIM at the airport or even pay online and get it delivered to your temporary address. So what else, Narissa? Did you get a driver's license, for instance?
No, believe it or not, it's been over 5 years and I'm even a citizen now, but I still don't have an Ontario driver's license. I've always lived downtown, and downtown Toronto is so transit friendly, I've never felt the need for it. But I did apply for an Ontario photo card, which is an alternative government ID that's nice to have if you don't plan on getting a driver's license.
Okay, that's right. In Ontario, you can have either a driver's license or a photo card as a form of ID, but not both. So if you plan to drive here, it might be better to just start with a driver's license. But you will need an official ID for many different reasons. So if you can, get your valid ID during your soft landing. Did you also apply for a provincial health card during your soft landing, Narissa?
No, I did not. Back then, Ontario had a 3-month waiting period before newcomers could qualify for the Ontario health insurance plan. So I wasn't eligible during my soft landing.
Yes, during the pandemic, Ontario permanently waived off this waiting period. So now you can apply for OHIP as soon as you arrive. However, I would like to say each province has its own rules and processes around health plans. So make sure you do your research before applying. And also, there are rules around how long you can remain outside the province and still keep your provincial health insurance active. So for instance, with OHIP in Ontario, if you're living outside of Ontario for more than 212 days in any 12-month period, then you will have to reapply for OHIP once you return. So if you're doing a soft landing and you don't have any firm plans of returning to Canada after completing your soft landing, or if you think it might be after a year or more, then it's maybe better not to apply for a health card during your initial trip.
That makes sense.
Okay, so you were in Toronto for nearly 3 months for your soft landing. Where did you stay during this time? Do you have any close friends or family in the city?
Not really. I booked an Airbnb in Toronto for the entire duration. I do want to point out that I wasn't completely unfamiliar with the way of life in Canada. I had visited Canada twice before. Not Toronto, but I did travel to Vancouver and on another occasion visited Niagara Falls. So I had a fair idea of what to expect with respect to accommodation.
Okay, well, that must have made things a little easier. But if this will be your first time in Canada, make sure you pick an Airbnb or hotel or hostel that has good ratings and guest reviews. Alternatively, you might also want to explore homestays, which often include one or more meals per day. Ideally, you should find accommodation that's close to public transit. And if you plan to do a lot of professional networking during your soft landing, then you might want to stay closer to the downtown area or the city center. Speaking of networking, Narissa, is this something that you did during your 3 months in Canada?
I wouldn't say I was actively networking, but I did end up meeting people. My situation was a little different because I wasn't looking for a job at the time, and I also didn't know when I would move to Canada for good. That said, I cannot stress enough just how important networking is within Canada's job market. In my case, even though I wasn't job hunting, I ended up meeting my future employer during my first week of my soft landing. And long story short, I actually had a Canadian job offer in hand before leaving Canada.
Now, that's a story I want to hear. But first, I want to direct our listeners to our amazing Networking for Newcomers guide, which we've linked out to in the episode description. Now, please tell us that story, Narissa.
Okay, so here's what happened. I like to blog in my spare time, and one of my pieces caught the attention of someone who was looking for a content manager for a company she had co-founded. She was interested in meeting me, and even though I wasn't really looking for employment opportunities, I'm always open to meeting new people. So we met, and I was very upfront about the fact that I still had a job with an employer in my home country, and I wasn't even sure when I'd be back after the soft landing. Plus, I wasn't a professional content writer. Writing was just a hobby for me. And even if I could quit my job back home and take a chance on a different career option, I would still have to serve a 3-month notice period in my home country. And as you probably know, the standard notice period in Canada is 2 weeks. So it's virtually unheard of for an employer to wait 3 months for a candidate.
But did they?
Well, yes. But before that, the co-founder insisted that I meet their team in Toronto. So I visited their office and really loved the company culture there. I had a few more conversations with other people in the organization, and then maybe a couple of weeks or so before I was scheduled to return to India, they made me a formal offer. At that time, I still wasn't sure when I'd return to Canada, so I didn't know when I could start. But they assured me that we could figure that out once my notice period in India was over. Thankfully, all of that went smoothly. I contacted my new employer after my notice period, And since I was already a PR and had a social insurance number, they agreed to let me work remotely from India for a little over 2 months until I was ready to move to Canada permanently.
That's amazing.
Yes, but I do want to point out that I got very lucky in this situation. It was as if the stars aligned for me. And even though changing my career at that point was a risk, it also seemed like a fun thing to try out. After all, what better time to take a risk like this than when you're starting afresh in a new country, right?
Well, it does sound like you got lucky with this, but not for nothing, right? I mean, you did write a blog post that impressed someone enough to offer you a job. So you did put in the effort, and you interviewed with a whole bunch of people from the organization who validated how great a fit you were.
I guess that's fair.
And as a newcomer, it's always a good idea to have something tangible you can show to the professionals you're networking with. And this could be a portfolio, a blog, or a personal website. It's a really great way to showcase samples of your work and help the people you're meeting visualize the impact that you could make on their team or within their organization.
Yes, and this holds true even after your soft landing. Also, even though I wasn't actively looking for a job during my soft landing, this is definitely something you should focus on, especially if an internal transfer isn't an option for you. Since you'll be physically present in Canada for a few weeks, it's an excellent opportunity to connect with professionals in companies you might want to work for. Set up some in-person coffee chats and get that relationship started right. Even if there are no roles immediately available, the initial connections you make might yield results in due course.
Yes. I should mention that if one of those connections pans out quickly and leads to a job opportunity, the employer might want you to start working for them sooner rather than later. Unlike in Narissa's case, not all employers would be willing to wait 3 months to fill a crucial role. So make sure you're prepared to accept the offer and plan your permanent move accordingly. Arrive has a detailed guide to finding your career in Canada, which includes tips on everything from crafting a resume to acing your job interviews. We've linked out to it in the episode description, and I highly recommend you download it. Now, Narissa, do you have any other recommendations on things newcomers should be doing during their soft landing?
As an extension of networking, I guess I would recommend reconnecting with any friends, family members, or other people you already know in Canada. For instance, alumni from your school may have moved to Canada, or some of your colleagues from previous jobs may already be living and working here. Reconnecting with them during your soft landing is the easiest way to start building your social and professional network.
That's a good tip. Even if these pre-existing connections don't work in your industry, they can help introduce you to others in their network or offer tips about moving and settling in Canada.
I'd also recommend familiarizing yourself with your city, especially if that's where you plan to stay when you return. Check out different neighborhoods and types of homes and get a sense of what kind of place you'll want to rent long-term. The advantage of actually being in the city before you come here to settle for good is that you have a holistic picture of a neighborhood or type of home. Like, how far is it from grocery stores or public transit? How long will it take to travel to downtown? Are there parks and greenery around? Is it quiet? These are things you can't always tell just by looking at a map.
That's right. And this exercise will save you time when you start looking for permanent accommodation later, because you'll already have a reasonable idea of the neighborhoods you're interested in.
And it will allow you to plan your budget based on realistic rental cost and other related cost of living. So when I returned to Toronto for good in mid-October 2018, I was completely certain that I wanted to live in the downtown area. And I still live in the same home, even after all these years.
And do you think that doing a soft landing helped you with your accommodation search?
Oh, in my case, it helped 100%. Not only was I able to narrow down where I wanted to live, but I also had a job offer and a Canadian credit history. So the renting process went extremely smoothly for me, and I was able to avoid the typical newcomer challenges.
Quick plug here. Arrive has a free accommodation guide for newcomers, which covers both temporary and permanent housing, as well as tips on navigating through some of the common challenges newcomers face when renting their first home in Canada. We'll add a link to that in the episode description. Narissa, before we wrap this up, I do want to talk about some of the pros and cons newcomers should keep in mind when they're deciding whether or not to do a soft landing. Do you want to start with the cons first?
Sure. The biggest argument against a soft landing would probably be the extra cost involved. Instead of traveling to Canada once and settling in, you'll have to book an extra return ticket for your soft landing, plus temporary accommodation for at least a few extra weeks. Also, since you get your PR card issued during or soon after your soft landing, you'll need to keep track of your time in Canada to meet the physical residency requirement for the renewal of your PR card.
And tell me a little more about that.
Well, your PR card is valid for 5 years, And to be eligible for renewal, you must be physically present in Canada for at least 730 days or 2 years during these 5 years. Similarly, to qualify for citizenship, you must be in Canada for at least 3 years or 1,095 days in a 5-year period. So if you delay your permanent move to Canada for 2 or more years after your soft landing, it might affect your PR renewal and citizenship timelines as well.
Well, that makes sense. On the flip side, the biggest advantage to doing a soft landing is that it gives you more time to plan your move and wrap up your life in your home country.
Yes. Plus, you'll get your PR card and SIN during your soft landing itself. So you're returning to your home country as a Canadian permanent resident. This can give you an advantage when you start your job search in Canada from abroad. Because A, employers are more likely to hire candidates who are legally authorized to work in Canada, which you will be. And B, since you have a SIN, you might even be able to work remotely until you're ready to relocate.
And even if you don't find a suitable job in Canada during your soft landing or in the months after you return home, you can still continue working for your existing employer. And not only will this keep you busy and motivated during your job search, but it'll also prevent you from having a long gap on your resume.
Plus, you'll be earning a salary the entire time. So whenever you're ready to move to Canada, you'll have more savings and a better financial cushion. The cost of living in Canada is quite high. And by doing a soft landing and returning home until you're better prepared for a permanent move, whether it's having more savings or a Canadian job offer, you can save a good amount in living expenses.
That's true. And of course, a soft landing gives you time to familiarize yourself with the city, its culture, its people, so that you don't experience as much of a culture shock when you move here permanently. Nerissa, this has been great. Thank you so much for joining me today and for sharing your personal experience as a newcomer in Canada. To our audience, thank you for listening to the Countdown to Canada podcast by Arrive. We hope this episode will leave you feeling better prepared for your upcoming move to Canada. We've shared a whole bunch of resources to help you plan your move to Canada with links to them in the episode description. And for other newcomer resources to help with your career, life, and finances in Canada, check out our website, arriving.com, and subscribe to our podcast.